Hey everybody, Tom's away from his computer right now. We started recording, but he doesn't know. I bet he says something real stupid. He just did the suck it symbol.
Oh, God.
He grabbed a Thanos action figure. Oh, he grabbed a couple more action figures. Brought them towards the
choke
desk.
Choke on a dick.
He told me to choke on a dick?
What? Okay.
Nothing. We definitely weren't recording. I definitely wasn't just narrating everything you were just doing.
Oh, great. Great. You ever do anything not super shitty?
No. No, I don't. But on that note, you want to start this motherfucking podcast?
No.
All right. Well, too bad.
Oh, snap. Melody is really confused right now.
Yeah, she's like, why the fuck are you screaming? You ginger bastard. Suh. Plural.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Hi, what's up, guys? It's the Comic Squadron Podcast back again, right on time, like every week.
We are always on time because we have no day when we're supposed to be on time.
That's true.
Therefore,
that's
we can never be not on time.
Yes, and in the spirit of taking way too long.
Oh, boy. It's going to be one of those episodes, isn't it?
Just kidding. My name's Eric, guys.
And this is Jeb Bush.
Jeb Bush? How the hell are you, buddy?
Not too good. I mean, instead of almost becoming president, I am actually just on a comic podcast now. Because no one likes me. So.
Yeah, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, what's
life
really
is better
a better
this
job?
Way.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. George W. Bush is my, what, brother? Are they brothers or cousins? I never really
remember. Brothers.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, that kind of sucks.
It does kind of suck, but what's your middle name, Jeb?
Exclamation point.
All right.
Yep, that's why my campaign is Jeb.
Great. Well, off to a great start as usual in the Comic Squadron podcast.
Exciting shit.
Hell yeah.
I'm just gonna throw this out here, out there. I guess not here. That I've been slacking on the website updates. I really have.
You bastard.
I know. I need to actually do some shit.
I've been 100% on top of my shit on the website since day one.
All your tasks.
All my tasks.
Maybe
completed.
List them out for us.
Task number one: be fucking great. Obviously, nail that.
Yep, check. You got that going.
Yeah. Task number two, get really drunk on the weekends. I do that. I did that last weekend.
I think you worked overtime this past weekend.
Oh, man. Oh, did I? Okay. Well, let's pull back the curtain here for a quick second. Did I text you at all this weekend? Because I legitimately, it was bad.
You might have. I don't know, actually.
Like,
see, every time I get a text
that's
from
what
you.
She said it, my friend Dave's mom. Which is something I don't normally do.
Yeah.
And So that got real weird. And then I really racistly started using an Australian accent, like in the worst way. And it was fun. It was good times.
Well, I'm
so
glad
obviously
you had fun this weekend.
Obviously I do my fucking part for the website. So what have you been doing over the past week, Tom?
Jack
when
shit.
You weren't doing your shit for the website.
Oh my god, what did I even do this past week?
Well, I will request this on behalf of the listeners. Have you won a basketball game yet with your basketball team?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we're gonna update that, right?
Yeah.
We played a 3-game tournament.
Okay.
And won 2 out of 3 games.
Nice.
I was pretty excited about that. And
yeah,
one of them almost
awesome.
Went. It did go to overtime. We won by 1 point.
Damn.
Shit was crazy. But
awesome.
This Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember which one it is, we have another tournament, 3-game tournament. So I'm looking forward to that. Because we've been, we practiced last Friday again and man, kicked my butt. Those players are real good. So,
man, well, just make sure not to fuck anything up, Tom. Jeb, yeah. Sorry. Jeb.
Yeah, Jeb. Jesus. Jesus, Eric. My name's Jeb.
Or you can
say it with some jab, you know, in it.
Sure. Anyways. Oh, man. Did you do anything else this week, or you want to tell us about what you pulled? Oh, Stephanie just popped in the frame, gave Tom a little kiss on the cheek. That was so cute.
Who's
she's
Tom?
Running out the door.
Yep, she's out of here. Well, uh-oh. Odin's joining me on the podcast today, too, so you might hear some of that. Right.
Odin being Tom's dog, Jeb's
dog. Yeah, Jeb's dog. So before polls, let's see, I went to a little mini Comic-Con in Metro Detroit this past weekend. I didn't really get too much because I realized that I have almost every trade paperback that I ever really need.
Well, so, but you did get one thing that we talked about before the podcast.
We're not going to talk about that, actually.
No, we have to talk about that. So why don't you tell everybody who you met, the famous superhero that you met at this Comic-Con, and the comic that he was based on. Obviously, we're doing this.
All right, Stephanie. Stephanie's a fan of supporting local artists, so we're going to plug this one here. And I'm just going to say this, and that's that. It's all Eric after this, so don't judge me. Stephanie wanted to support this local artist that has no digital art whatsoever. So this artist guy was dressed up as the superhero he created. And
what's name that superhero, baby?
It's called Commander Praise.
Commander Praise.
Yep, it's
fighting evil.
Yep,
on behalf of the Lord, the Holy Lord.
Stephanie just came in and wagged her finger and said, "Say nice things." She said, "Don't be rude."
I am not being rude.
Just in case you're interested, it says, "When demons threaten Earth, war is upon us, and God searches for that one soul to help right the wrong. No one knows but God." Commander Praise.
Oh man.
But no, I'll be honest with you. The guy was dressed up, the guy that wrote it, as Commander Praise, and he had like this, like a costume mask on, and for some reason his eyes looked real freaky in the mask, and like he kept looking at me, and it scared the crap out of me. I feel bad saying that, but like I was like, "Don't look at me, your eyes are scary."
Don't look at me.
Just because, like, if you ever see people cosplay, they usually use like makeup around their eyes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for some reason, like, it just like looked really, I don't like people in masks, they freak me out, so. There's this little boy dressed up as Kylo Ren there, and I was like, "Get away from me, child. Just get away."
So but, yeah. I feel, though, we should highlight the difference between you and I and supporting local artists, because...
It wasn't me. It was Stephanie. It was Stephanie. So Eric and I go to Motor City Comic Con, and we'll walk down 75% of the aisles of independent artists. And the only one he even gives jack shit about is the one girl with nice hair and nice tits. He's like,
"Hey, come on, man.
Oh, wow, this is an interesting concept. Let me get both of your comic books.
No, no, no.
The art is so good.
No.
Can I get your phone number just so I can text you how good it is?"
No. Don't make me sound. I mean, I am a pig, but in that moment, I was not being a shitty person. It was a really and now I feel like because you made that statement, I can't even tell people what the clever thing was because it's very unique. And if she or anyone who knows her ever listens to this podcast, they're going to be like, "Hey, these guys were totally objectifying you," which is not the case.
Okay, hold
at
up.
All.
Hold up. Not these guys. Eric over
I didn't
here.
Fucking do shit.
I was like, "Oh, cool comic book," but like I really just don't care because I just generally don't care about anything.
All right, listen, she had a really cool gimmick about like how to get people over to her booth. And yeah, I mean, she was pretty cute.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was the whole reason, Dick. So
yeah. Well, if it was like some 7-year-old guy with saggy tits,
yeah, you wouldn't
have said anything.
I absolutely wouldn't have said anything nice. But I did go over there. I bought her comic book. And it was fantastic. Have you read...
What was the gimmick, though? What was the gimmick?
I don't know if I should say it, because like it's pretty unique.
Just so, say like, it.
All right. I wasn't objectifying you.
It was.
I was not. But it was a gimmick where she cut out, like, on poster board, like a thought bubble, and she wrote on it, "Ask me about my comic," and she was just like holding it above her head.
And so Eric,
and I was like, that's like really genius, because then you make eye contact with her and you read that, and like she knows you read it, so you're like, ah, god damn it, well I can't just walk by now, especially because look at that smile, baby. But anyways, so
the truth comes out, everybody.
So
look at that smile.
I
he was looking north of the equator. Okay,
I went over and talked to her and I bought her comic. It was really fucking good.
Yeah.
Comic, or I bet that was a more pleasurable experience than you had.
Oh, it was definitely
Commander
Price. You know, that's not a judgment on anybody but myself, so I'm just gonna stick PC right there.
Anyways, and, let's get the fuck out of this topic
as fast as possible. What I bought at this Comic-Con, though?
Absolutely, I do.
Check this mofo out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's like a gigantic-sized Thanos.
Yeah, that's a huge Thanos action figure.
So I put
looks like he has something on his bicep. Is it like a button? Does he talk?
What? No, that's his joint.
Ah, okay.
It's his action figure joint. But
okay.
I'm now keeping him right next to my gigantic life-size Infinity Gauntlet. So
nice.
I'm not a geek or anything. And then there's two other things I want to show
you. Yeah.
So you know I collect all the Marvel Funko Pops all the time. It's like my jam. Well, Walgreens has exclusive Marvel Pops. And I was able to find 2 out of 3 of them by badgering some people at a local Walgreens. The first of which, Iron Spider.
Oh, that's badass.
Which is pretty fucking awesome.
Wait, do all of them have, are all of them like bobbleheads?
Yes, they have to be bobbleheads because Hasbro has exclusive rights to Marvel action figures. So the only way they're able to make them is because they're bobbleheads. Same with Star Wars too. But the other one you'll appreciate is Taskmaster.
Oh, I appreciate him because I called him out as B-list on the last episode.
Yes, you did. Yeah, the only other one I'm missing now is Green Goblin, which I cannot find because I have found out that Walgreens employees don't like stocking these on their shelves and instead put them on eBay to make money for themselves. So
classic.
I have to like
Walgreens
walk in and
move.
Be like, your app shows that you have 12 of these. And they're like, well, we don't. And I'm like, fuck you, you do. But I actually am like, well, excuse me, but can you please check your back stock room?
Man, you should have me come in with you, because I will for sure say, fuck you, you do.
Yeah, seriously. It's like my problem, but yeah, fun stuff.
All right, great. So what'd you pull, man?
Ooh,
what
boy.
Comics you reading? Or did you have time to read any? If you didn't, I have some. I've been reading.
There is 2 of them I didn't read and 3 I did.
Okay.
So I'll start with 2 and I'll give you my excuses for both.
All right.
I love this cover. Silver Surfer.
Oh, that's pretty badass.
Number
yeah.
1.
That's retro style.
The reason I haven't read this is because there's 15 issues from the previous iteration. This is by Dan Slott, by the way. I have read 14 out of 15. And I'm getting the trade paperback tomorrow. So
I feel this should be said because everybody makes a lot of much ado about the way female characters are portrayed on comic book covers. And that is probably the most sexualized position you could ever possibly put a character. Like, if I could describe the way Silver Surfer is standing right now, he's pointing his toes, pushing his ass out as far as humanly possible, and his arms
he has a nice
are open
ass.
In like a like look at me type thing. So it goes both ways. Although to be fair, I'm just playing devil's advocate, and but it is kind of funny.
If you've never read Dan Slott's Silver Surfer, it started 15 issues ago. I think the trade paperback comes out tomorrow for the 3rd one, but you can read 14 of the issues on Marvel Unlimited. It's very good. It's very Doctor Who-esque, very fun and simple, you know, nothing too crazy. So,
hey, in one sentence, make me give a shit about Silver Surfer. Because like
You just cut out for me. So.
I said, in one sentence, make me give a shit about Silver Surfer.
I think I just missed all of what you just said.
God damn it! Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay. One sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Make me care about Silver Surfer. Why should I care about Silver Surfer?
Because he can do fucking anything. So it's like, now that he's not,
You went past your one sentence.
Okay, well, it's fucking impossible. So, now that he's not like a Herald of Galactus, he kind of just flies around, and you just like, you know, it can kind of go anywhere because he's just like floating around the entire universe. So I don't know. Okay. It's interesting. It's like, it's very, I don't even know how to describe it. It's fun. You know, if you like, like Ultimate Spider-Man, like it's like carefree fun, like then you would like that story.
Okay.
So you probably still
maybe
don't give
I'll
a
give
shit
it a try.
It's yeah, go on Marvel Unlimited, just read the first couple issues, and then if you don't like it, then you know, fuck me, but you know, that's that.
Sounds like you win either way.
Okay. All right, my next poll, everybody. Is The Astonishing Ant-Man number 4.
Oh, yeah.
I have not read this one simply because I just haven't had the time to read much, and I forgot that I didn't read this until about 10 minutes ago, so I'm going to read this once this podcast is over.
Excellent.
But I think I mentioned this before. Nick Spencer's writing is so wordy that I'm always just like,
oh,
I'm too tired to read this.
Yeah, because it's like a chore.
Yeah, exactly. Next, Uncanny Inhumans number 4.
Cool.
This was, it has a cool cover. It has like Kang the Conqueror on the cover, and he's like holding the Inhumans in his hand. This story was pretty good. It wrapped up like what was going on pretty cleanly, but if you have any interest in the Inhumans, definitely check out both Uncanny Inhumans and All New Inhumans. They're both pretty good. So.
Cool.
Fun stuff. And then these are my favorite two, which this is going to show my personality a bit because I think these are the best comics that I read now. Miss Marvel number 3.
Okay.
Which I love.
AKA your fiance Stephanie's least favorite character.
I was about to say, yeah, she fucking hates Miss Marvel.
Wait, it's 100% your fault.
Yep. Because I tried to get her to relate to it. I love Miss Marvel. At first I didn't like it because it's like super girly and like simple and carefree, but now my inner girl loves it, so...
Ooh, baby!
That's fun stuff. And this was my favorite of this week, which I really enjoyed, and that is Captain Marvel number 1.
Nice!
So this has Captain Marvel going up into space, and she's at a space station that is supposed to, like, protect Earth from, like, you know, outer defenses and stuff like that. And she's in charge, not Abigail Brand, who was in charge of... Sword. And yep. So she's working with Abigail Brand and all of Alpha Flight.
Ooh.
Which is interesting. So I enjoyed this a lot. I think Captain Marvel's awesome. I'm not a super big fan of her having short hair now because I liked her long hair, like mohawk thing. But it's still really good. I like the way it was drawn. Super simple. And this is the first issue I've read of Captain Marvel that doesn't have Kelly Sue DeConnick writing it. This one is written by, what's the lady's first name? Because I can't pronounce her last name very well. Michelle Fezekas and Tara Butters, who are Eric's favorite writers because they are the showrunners of Agent Carter, I believe. So Eric would probably hate this.
Yeah, I fucking probably would.
So, but that's for another time. Those are my 5 polls of this week, or last week, and then we'll see what I get next week.
Hell yeah. I didn't pull anything because I don't pull anything because I'm a broke-ass bitch, so I read all my stuff digitally. But I did read the entirety of Superior Iron Man.
I need to read that still. I'm actually going to get that book.
Tony Stark is such a great villain, and I'm so pissed he's not a villain anymore because, like... He's actually, I don't know, man. I just like him as a villain. I like Dick Tony Stark a lot.
Because he already kind of plays like a...
Yeah, exactly.
He's a villainous hero.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like, I guess the run was good. Wasn't great. It was good. But the concept behind it was great.
You really need to read Invincible Iron Man by Matt Fraction.
I'm getting there.
That shit is amazing.
I'm getting there. I'll probably read that next. And then
I
started reading.
I noticed that Superior Iron Man was just coming out on trade paperback, so I'll probably pick that up in the next couple weeks and read that. So
yeah, And then I started, I'm getting through last run of Hulk, where he turns into Doc Green and Hulk is all smart and shit.
Who wrote that?
I don't fucking know.
Huh.
But okay. I actually really like that. Like, I like that a lot. I feel Hulk stories tend to be underrated for some reason, like, nowadays. I know in the past people loved the shit out of the Hulk, and I think they do now in the movies, but, man, like, I would say for the past 4 years or so, consistently, the main Hulk book has been, like, really good.
I still need to finish up Indestructible Hulk by Mark Waid.
Yeah.
I still have a couple issues left of that, but I don't know. Like, I feel like he's hit or miss with me. I enjoyed Planet Hulk. I still need to read World War Hulk and all that stuff. So
yeah,
I try to base my reading schedule off of what movie's coming out next, so I catch it before. So I did forget to say I read 40 issues of Deadpool by Dugan and Posen. Or is it Posen? I don't know how you say his name. That's been pretty good. I'm finishing up my last couple issues of Punisher by Garth Ennis. Not Max, just like the Punisher Marvel Knights series.
Okay.
And then I'm going through the rest of the Winter Soldier books after that. So I'm trying to tick them off one by one. So fun shit.
Nice. Well, I think that you just gave us an amazing segue into news because you mentioned Planet Hulk.
My news article.
Yes.
Speaking on Thor Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
There is a rumor out there that this is pretty much going to be a Planet Hulk adaptation. This is what they said. They're talking about Hulk here. He's managed to avoid reverting back into the Banner state since we last saw him in the Quinjet in Avengers Age of Ultron. Hulk in Hulk form is pretty much unlikable, so he survived the trip to...
Unkillable.
What's that? Unkillable. I'm sorry. Everyone likes the Hulk.
Yeah.
Jesus. And so he somehow survives a trip to Sakaar, which is where Planet Hulk is based. And his banner self is starting to seep through into the Hulk persona. And because of the Hulk banner melding, Hulk actually remembers Thor and his relationship to him. That's when the two start on a midnight run to the MacGuffin that Thor desperately needs. I read this, I think, this morning or yesterday, and I just immediately was like, bullshit. I don't think it's
true. Bullshit meter's going off?
Yeah.
All right. See,
how does he get to Sakaar? I mean, like, he's not getting there in a Quinjet. That doesn't make any sense. A Quinjet isn't made for space travel.
It doesn't make sense, but I feel like I'd be okay with it if they just didn't address it. They're just like, Hulk's in space now.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to have that adaptation. I just... That source itself, I could see them like very, very, very loosely doing that, but
yeah,
I don't know.
See, I think the reason I don't really feel strongly about it either way, but the reason I could see it happening is, number one, in my opinion, the Thor movies have been the weakest movies in the Marvel universe, and it hasn't even been close. Like, they're fine, but they just seem to fall so short comparatively. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Marvel cannot do a solo Hulk movie because of rights issues,
right.
This could be the way to get around that and doing a Planet Hulk movie just with Thor and like throw some Thor shit in there, make a Thor movie better, and make a Hulk movie that people really want to see. So,
right.
I can see, I don't know. Yeah, like I don't know if... obviously, I don't fucking know. I don't know anything. But I don't know. I could see it happening. But also, I mean, I'm kind of with you where, like, I don't think people should get their hopes up. But
right. Yeah, it's kind of one of those pipe dreams that people, I mean, I remember when Latino Review?
Yeah.
I mean, he came out a long time ago and said that the Planet Hulk was happening. I think even Kevin Feige denied it.
He says literally everything. So he throws as much shit at the wall as possible because something's never bound sticks. To stick.
Yep.
God, that guy's the fucking worst. Anyways.
So tying into that, I will say there's two comments I did read about Thor Ragnarok, and that Taika Waititi, who's directing it, he's a Kiwi director.
Okay.
Known for working with Flight of the Conchords. And he's saying that he's going to have a fresher style of humor for Thor, and that Thor is most interesting in Ragnarok. So I think those are kind of bland comments. But the thing that did catch my eye is that Mark Ruffalo said that Thor Ragnarok is a road movie across the universe. So I hope that's true, because I'm sick of seeing Earth the entire time in Thor movies. Because I just don't give a shit.
Sure.
So I'm kind of hoping that that's the case.
Cool.
But we'll see. We shall see. I read some comments. I'll let you kind of comment on this. This is DC stuff. Is that Zack Snyder was explaining why he's using Doomsday in Batman v Superman. He kind of said, quote, "To go up against heroes like Batman and Superman, we wanted to introduce one of the DC universe's most iconic and powerful villains. He is essentially an unstoppable force. He poses a real threat to the world within the film." He said, "You learn pretty early on that Lex is interested in metahuman existence, and that there might be some relationship between that investigation and the appearance of Diana Prince." So, I mean, what I get from that is that they needed someone stronger than both of them so that they could actually join together. I don't know much about Doomsday. I just thought he looked like shit in the trailer. So
yeah, he looks like shit in the trailer. The thing with Doomsday is he's the one who kills Superman in the comics. Like, that is his only role in the comics, is he kills Superman. Like, he's obviously not going to fucking kill Superman in this movie. Is God, I don't know. I cannot bring myself to give a fuck about this movie. Or any of the dumb hype they're trying to build behind it. Because they've already shown us the entire movie, and it looks like shit. Like, that's...
Yep.
I mean, there's no... I don't know. I could go on a rant about this for the entire rest of the podcast. But, like, it's just... it's so annoying. I feel like Zack Snyder just lost control of this, and it's just been spiraling. And I have no hope at all.
Yeah, I'll go see it the day it comes out, but that's about it.
Yeah, I will not. I'll go all see it for this podcast, but I'm not gonna go see it the day it fucking comes out. Fuck that.
Well, we shall see. Actually, depending on what the Rotten Tomatoes score is, will depend on when I see it, but we shall see. All right, transitioning back to Marvel. There will be reportedly 3 people joining the Guardians of the Galaxy in Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see who they are?
Sure did.
So it's looking like Yondu and Nebula are joining the team. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what brings Nebula there. I can kind of see how they could get Yondu joining. Nebula, on the other hand, that'll be interesting. But on top of that, a new character, Mantis.
Mantis, I fucking love Mantis in the comics.
So which run did you read Mantis that you liked her in?
God damn it. I don't know. I don't pay attention to writers like you do. It was the one fuck. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I'll try to look it up and find it. Well,
she's being played by Pam Clemente. I don't know how you say that last name.
Wow.
And Mantis, she's kind of known for being telepathic, and she can communicate with plants and vegetation. So it'll be interesting to see if she can talk to Groot. I was just thinking about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we might actually hear Vin Diesel's voice.
Yeah.
We'll say, I mean, you know, saying, work. Yeah.
And on top of that, there was an exclusive rumor going around that the villain of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is going to be Ego the Living Planet.
Ego the Living Planet. I call bullshit.
Oh, me too. Yeah, that makes no sense to me. I wouldn't be surprised if he maybe was in it. Maybe?
Yeah, he might make an appearance, but main villain, no fucking way.
Yeah.
And not even James Gunn is that crazy.
Yeah. Right after that, I mean, it sounds like an episode of Star Trek at that point. Mm-hmm. Like a 20-minute episode of Star Trek. But after fans had heard that, they already started campaigning to get Al Pacino to play Ego the Living Planet.
Yes, that was thanks to the Weekly Planet podcast, our fellow comic book podcasters.
Yeah.
They started that campaign. Yeah, Pacino, hashtag Pacino the Living Planet. It's good shit. Also, It was the Dan Abnett run of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah, that shit's the bomb.
Which I read, Abnett, and I really enjoyed Mantis in that one. Yes.
That shit is good.
Mantis. And there was a lot of, if I remember correctly, there's a lot of Cosmo in that one, too, which and I really liked him.
Yeah,
like, he was more than just like a... Like, oh, look at the cute dog in the space suit. Like, he actually had a purpose, so I like that.
Right, yeah. That's the run that goes along with Annihilation, and Annihilation Conquest,
yes.
And then Realm of Kings, War of Kings, all that stuff. So that's all part of the modern Marvel Cosmic Universe. So if you want to check out any of those books, the entire order with links is up on our website. If you just check out recommended reading orders and go to the modern Marvel cosmic reading. So any of those characters would show up in that run, which is all like consistently fucking great. So,
hell yeah,
check that shit out.
Sweet.
All right, moving on. I don't know if you ever read Cable and Deadpool. It was my first experience with the character, but Ryan Reynolds is saying that they're already talking about making a Cable and Deadpool movie.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Following up.
So that would be fucking awesome. I love that shit. So,
hell yeah,
it's an interesting pairing because Deadpool's as wacky as shit, but then like Cable's like, I'm super serious and strong, and I travel time and blah 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 blah. So I don't know. It's good shit. So hopefully that gets made because I'm really hoping that they hit it out of the park with Deadpool. So
yeah, I mean they're Mark. God, we say this every fucking episode, but like they could not possibly be doing a better job with the marketing.
Right? Yeah, it's unbelievable. Fucking great.
Yeah.
So, all right, more Marvel news. I thought this was hilarious. For those that don't know, Doctor Strange has a Asian manservant in the comics named Wong. Which is probably one of the most racist things ever. But
yeah, it was one of Marvel's many questionable choices from the from back in the day.
Right, and so I don't think a lot of people are expecting him to show up in the movie, because it's a big racial stereotype. But they have cast Benedict Wong as Wong. In a movie, okay, so wait, hold on. Not only is a character named an actor named Benedict Wong playing a character
fucking
named Wong,
hilarious.
He is a Benedict working alongside with another Benedict.
Yeah.
So you got Benedict Cumberbatch and Benedict Wong in this movie. So
it's Benedict Wongception.
Exactly. It's like, how many, I don't even think you should be allowed to have two Benedicts in one movie.
I know.
Those of you that don't know who Benedict Wong is, he actually was in The Martian.
Everyone?
Oh. What's that?
I said, which is everyone? I've never heard of this guy before, ever.
I didn't know his name, but once I saw his picture, I immediately knew who he was. So he was part of the Jet Propulsion Lab in The Martian. So he's like the guy in charge of JPL. And on top of that, he played, I think, Kublai Khan? Yeah, Kublai Khan in Netflix's Marco Polo, if you guys watch that, which I watched like half of it, so... I definitely recognized him from that. So,
cool.
Moving on. Netflix shit. Charlie Cox has said that he has not been called about a Daredevil cameo in Avengers Infinity War.
Which is dumb.
So we can file that under
him,
no surprise there, especially seeing as pre-production has not started even on that movie. So there's that.
Yeah, but I feel like like they should let the guy know. I mean...
Yeah,
he could be lying, which is very possible. But man,
I don't think he'll show up.
Like, if we don't, God, if Daredevil does not show up in that movie, I'm gonna be fucking pissed, and I know a lot of people will too.
You're gonna be fucking pissed, son.
I know. So stupid. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. There's a long time before that movie comes out. So
yeah, that's true.
I got some Luke Cage news. So Rosario Dawson has said that her Luke Cage role is bigger than that in Jessica Jones. So
fucking obviously.
She was in like, what, two episodes of Jessica Jones, though. So, I mean,
I thought she was just in the last episode of Jessica Jones.
I think it's the last two.
I think you're wrong.
One or two, but whatever. So she'll be in this one more, which is cool because she's a good actress.
Yeah, she's great.
But on top of that.
Well, can we talk about, wasn't she like... confirm she's playing Night Nurse, and then they're like, no, she's not Night Nurse anymore. And now, like, is she Night Nurse again? Because she's obviously fucking Night Nurse, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, she pretty much is. I just think that they ran into some trouble because there's more than one Night Nurse. And Night Nurse is used in a lot of Doctor Strange stories. So I think they might be using something along those lines in his movie.
Okay.
So I don't know. I think that that was some articles that came out that might not have been completely accurate, but I guess we'll see when the movie comes out if they're using a Night Nurse too, which I kind of hope not, because it's just like, just keep some consistency. I mean, use some fucking communication here. I don't know how all that works. So
yeah,
there's some corporate bureaucracy going on there. But speaking of Luke Cage, literally today, Jessica Jones's account on Twitter tweeted out a tweet that said, "Alias Investigations, how may I help you?" And it shows a table with a bunch of files on it. And one says Cage, and it's highlighted. And then there's a dash next to it that says November. So I think we can safely assume that that'll be coming out in November.
Nice.
This year. So it's kind of the first confirmation, you know, halfway confirmation that that'll be coming out.
Yeah, it's great.
Let's see. Just to get a break from Marvel news for a second, I have some sad news, friends.
Oh.
Star Wars Episode 8 has been delayed.
No!
Which sucks. Oh. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Honestly,
that was much longer than I thought it was going to be.
Well, the only reason I did that is because I was receiving a phone call. And you could hear the ringer playing through my iPad in the other room. So,
oh, boy.
I was,
of course, there's a shitty excuse to go along with it.
Yes. Anyways.
But we're the only ones to blame.
Fact that clearly it was hilarious.
Yeah. We are the only ones to blame for this. So I guess Star Wars was originally going to come out in May of next year. And I think they realized how fucking great December was to release a movie, because no other big movies really tend to come out then. And so they bumped it all the way from May to December 15th, 2017. And I think, like, there were so many movies coming out in May of next year that it's definitely a good choice on Disney, because they don't need to deal with all that competition.
It's not a good Star choice Wars, for my heart.
What's that?
I said it's not a good choice for my heart.
I know. I was so bummed when I saw that. But I think that Star Wars was number one in the box office for, like, 5 weeks or something.
Yeah, it was there for a while.
And so it's like that compared to, like, you know, a major blockbuster coming out at least every other week. It's, they'll make more money that way. So
yeah.
Okay, but I got some uplifting news for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Spider-Man is coming out earlier now.
Oh, yeah. Than was originally expected. It's only by like a couple days though, right?
No, yeah, it was like they moved it up like a week. To Fucker. July 7th, 2017. And that's to avoid another release that is coming out that month. I don't even remember what it was exactly. But that's like a year and a half away, so good shit.
Cannot wait for that movie. Speaking of Spider-Man stuff, did you see, apparently,
I got a whole bunch of Spider-Man stuff.
Oh, shit. Okay, well then I might be stepping on your toes here, but part of the reason why Spider-Man has not shown up in any of the marketing for Civil War.
Yeah, that was my next thing.
Yeah, is because of a rights issue.
Yeah, I guess there's some legal contracts and stuff like that that still aren't really ironed out between Marvel and Sony. So that's why he's not part of any marketing, really, is that, you know, those contingencies and whatever you want to call them are just really not sorted out between the two companies. I know this made some of the fans a little bit worried about this, how this is all going to work out, but I think in the grand scheme of things, they're probably sorting things out or already have, and they're probably just waiting on a reveal now. I mean, personally, I don't think Sony would be stupid enough to kind of fuck themselves over.
You give them too much credit, my friend.
Shit, yeah. As I was saying that, I was like, oh, God. I don't even fucking know, but I was reading an article that had the Russo brothers talking, and they said that while those contract negotiations were going on, they were like, they had to be like super careful to like not step on Sony's toes, because they were kind of moving faster, I think, than the contracts were going.
Oh, man.
Obviously, they're still working those out. So, I don't know. I'm just happy that we know 100% without a doubt
Spider-Man's going to be
that Spider-Man is in a movie in like a couple of months. So,
yeah,
that's all I need.
Amazing.
Speaking of Spider-Man, Luis Desposito, who is he's a big head at Marvel/Marvel Studios. I can't remember what his title is. Let me pull it up here. Oh, he's Marvel co-president.
Okay.
And he's also a producer and director. I think he actually directed the one shot for Agent Carter, which is Eric's favorite one shot. So, but he just posted a picture. It says, "I run into Tom Holland in the craziest of places." And it's a picture of Luis Desposito and Tom Holland sitting in a Quinjet. So that's pretty sweet.
Spider-Man and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. confirmed.
Yep, pretty much. He's going to be on it next week, even though it's not airing. It's gonna be fucking awesome. All right, moving on. This is kind of news slash the topic of the week. So this week, I think we're going to be talking about Agent Carter a whole bunch.
Hold on, because there's still like a shitload of DC stuff if you're about to
No, we don't need that.
Okay. Oh, wait, what? No. We don't need it? Fuck it.
I'm just kidding. You said okay for a second.
Because I thought you were like, no, we're gonna still have a bunch more shit to talk about with news.
No, I know we still have stuff to talk about, but this one I just want to kind of mold together.
Okay, cool.
Before Agent Carter aired.
Did you just hear how many times I just said the word cool?
Yeah.
Cool.
It was not cool.
Cool, man. It's cool.
Oh, boy. Why do I do this?
Cool. Move on, man. It's cool.
Why do I do this at all? So, before Agent Carter aired last week, ABC aired the 75th anniversary special of Captain America.
Ooh.
Which you can check out on Hulu if you haven't watched it. It's available on Hulu. I think on ABC's website as well. But at the end of that, let me go back. Right now, Steve Rogers, who was Captain America, is super old because in the comics, he had
in
his super soldier. But yes.
Yeah.
He had his super soldier serum taken out of him by a villain. But at the end of the special, they announced that the original Captain America is going to return and release some artwork of a young Captain America with a non-circular shield. It looks like a traditional shield. Mm-hmm. And that he will be returning. And that they will both release a Captain America Sam Wilson title as well as Steve Rogers Captain America title.
Because Falcon Cap is keeping like the traditional shield.
Right. Yeah. So this they showed Marvel released a picture of Captain America number one, which is Steve Rogers. It's written by Nick Spencer, who writes Captain America, Sam Wilson. And it has Captain America with like a non-circular shield. And then behind him is Sharon Carter and then Sam Wilson, Captain America with the traditional shield. And then what looks like, I think, Winter Soldier behind them. So they're all kind of running in front of the Capitol building. So it'll be interesting to see that. I just think Marvel publishing is really weird now because there's now going to be two Captain Americas. There are two Thors.
Two Spider-Men.
There's two Spider-Men. There's Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel.
Two Hulks.
And there's, multiple Hulks.
Yeah,
and
shitload of Hulks, actually.
Yeah, and then like the X-Men have like, God knows what the fuck is going on. So it's getting rather dense in the title world in the Marvel Universe.
So dumb. Well, sorry, are you done with that piece of news?
I just wanted to quote what someone commented on this article telling us. They just said, "This is fucking ridiculous."
Yeah, I mean, it is fucking ridiculous. And on that note, and so look, it's no secret. Both Tom and I are more of Marvel fans than we are DC fans. But I don't think I've ever been shy about criticizing Marvel when I think they deserve it. And I've said on this show that they're fucking god awful at like this, like bringing in new people. I mean,
does it really surprise you though? Is my question.
Yes, because this is the piece of news I had. So DC did an entire relaunch of all their characters a couple years ago with the DC New 52. They relaunched 52 comic titles, all with number ones, where you didn't have to know any of the backstory to... You know what? I'm sorry. I both of my parents are blowing me up, so I'm wondering if like it's something serious. So hold on. Yeah, so anyways, we're back from that brief commercial break where I thought somebody in my family was dying, so I had to leave for a second. But everything's fine.
Well, so I just wanna bring something up really quick. So while Eric was gone, I check Reddit. It's like kind of my way of seeing what's going on to make sure nothing shit isn't falling, you know, from the ceiling.
Yes.
The top post right now that I'm seeing is a Today I Learned post, and it's related to what we're talking about right now. And it says, "Today I learned the original candidate for DC Comics' first headlining black superhero was a character named Black Bomber. He was a white racist who got turned into a black superhero under stress. And a historian named Don Markstein described him as, quote, an insult to practically everybody with any point of view at all."
Which is fucking hilarious. Right in the middle of my rant about how DC is doing shit right.
Oh, man, that's fucking hilarious.
Jesus, that is really funny. So, all right, not considering what either of the comic companies did in the fucking 60s or whenever this happened. So DC Comics did their New 52, which is a reboot of every title from number one. You didn't have to know anything that was going on.
Right.
So now it seems like they're doing another reboot. It's been about maybe 5 years since the New 52. Looks like they're doing another full reboot. To bring things more in line with their cinematic universe. Which is pissing off a lot of, like, hardcore fans, but it's fucking better than whatever the fuck Marvel's trying to do. Like, seriously, because it gives people a jumping on point, and it gives people a jumping on point that makes sense. Like, there's not... Because, like, okay, so there's a bunch of Batman titles, right? So there's, like, Batman, there's Detective Comics, there's like, Batman and Robin, and then there's, like, Nightwing and shit, whatever. I actually don't think they fucked up Nightwing,
so... Just go ahead and wake me up when you're done.
Alright, so, with Marvel, I mean, you have... Spider-Man, you have Amazing Spider-Man, you have Miles Morales Spider-Man, you have probably some other fucking Spider-Man. All right, but you will, though. Like, it's they've talked about, like, that's coming.
Right now, they have Spider-Man, which is Miles Morales. They have Amazing Spider-Man,
Oh, Spidey is what I was thinking of.
Spidey's
the other one. Okay.
Yep. Get your shit right, man.
Either it doesn't make it's my point stands. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. It's so goddamn stupid. Then they're gonna have Captain America, then Sam Wilson Captain America, then probably fucking Bucky Barnes is gonna decide to be Captain America one goddamn day, and he's gonna get to be fucking Captain America because it's like a fucking episode of Oprah where everybody's Captain America.
You're Captain America, and you're Captain America, and you're Captain America.
So I wonder if Hitler gets to be
Captain America.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my fucking rant for the week. It's so goddamn stupid. But good on DC for doing... I think probably once every like 5 to 8 years is probably good for a reboot. No storyline needs to last more than 5 years. For any reason.
Marvel tends to try and do that too. They go back to number ones, but like...
But they don't even commit! Like, they never commit! That's the thing! It's like, it's kind of new, but don't worry because all the other stuff still counts. It's like, what the fuck? It's like they just, nobody at Marvel has the balls to just cut the cord because they think all the fanboys are going to be upset. I'm like, yeah, they will, but the fanboys need to fucking get out of their mom's basements and fucking grow up and accept that it's not the 60s anymore, and there's a new fucking comic fan that deserves to grow up with these heroes, and they can't even get into them because it's so fucking impossible. I'm done. It's my rant.
Well, if you guys couldn't tell already, Eric has many opinions, and that's just going to continue once he's done with news. And he actually talks about Agent Carter.
It's just going to get worse.
So, do you have any more news?
Yeah, let's just really, really quick. So, Legends of Tomorrow premiered. It was fine. It's the spinoff.
It was fine.
It's the spinoff of Flash and Arrow, the DC shows on TV. It's about Rip Hunter. He gets together like all the B-team heroes and some villains from Flash and Arrow, and he's like, "Hey, y'all gotta help me save the future from Vandal Savage." And they're like, "Kay." And
I think that they would all really appreciate that you just called them B-team.
Well, they all are, and it actually talks about there's a twist about halfway through the first episode, which I actually thought was pretty well done, because they didn't really broadcast it in the marketing at all. So I'm glad. But yeah, it was okay. A lot of people shit on it, and then a lot of people really liked it. And I'm kind of, I guess if I had to pick a side, I would say I liked it more than I didn't like it. But
what a quote.
Yeah, but nothing spectacular. If you really like Arrow and the Flash, you'll like it. If you don't,
right,
you won't. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean,
so
fair, I'd say.
So during this premiere, there was like a big thing about all the DC cinematic shit, and they did a Wonder Woman tease. Like, they showed some footage from Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
you watched this, right, Tom?
I did.
So I think it looks really good. Like, probably the best footage I've seen of anything from the DC cinematic universe yet. Like, in my opinion, it almost has like a Game of Thronesy type vibe mixed with, like, I don't want to compare it to Captain America just because it's set in that time period, but it's like a war movie mixed with like Game of Thrones, which I dig a lot. Like, I'm now really excited for this movie. So I hope they don't fuck that up.
I mean, I didn't think it looked bad, but like, I didn't see enough to really make any sort of educated opinion whatsoever.
Sure. I'm not, like, saying my opinion's educated. I'm just going by like gut feeling from what they showed. I'm into it.
Yeah, because I mean, I had that same feeling when I first saw Batman versus Superman footage, but you know, it just took a little bit more footage to realize, well, that just looks shitty.
Yeah, and that's 100% fair, because DC has done nothing to earn the benefit of the doubt. So,
right, yeah. I did like the different time periods, so I think that's a really cool concept, and I do like that. I mean, I want it to be good. You know, I'm obviously not a huge DC fan, but, like, I'm a fan of good movies.
Yes.
You know? So, like, I'll go see that shit.
Yeah.
You know, if Batman versus Superman somehow ends up being amazing, I'll go see it many times.
Sure.
Without a doubt. But I just, like, right now, I'm just like, well, you know, who knows?
Yeah, no, they haven't done much to earn the benefit of the doubt, but I think that footage looks pretty cool. And the other big, big, big thing they released was the first official trailer of Suicide Squad. Now,
fuck yeah, man.
We talked a little bit about this, and I feel we had different, not really opinions, but different perspectives on how we on how we saw it. Because to me, I was not at all, like, this trailer makes this movie out to be like a Guardians of the Galaxy type romp. Like, it looks like it looks like a comedy, like a very lighthearted, and like, that's not what I thought this movie was going to be at all. Like, I thought this movie is going to be straight up gritty and DC'd out. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you seem
quite
like
a bit of comedy.
Yeah, and now the way you were talking is like, you seem like you kind of suspected this all along.
Yeah, I kind of thought, you know, obviously it's going to have some dark moments because the Joker's in it, but like, I kind of expected this to be more lighthearted in a sense with the characters that are involved. And the entire trailer was pretty much based off of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yep.
Which Queen is like one of my favorite bands, so I immediately like that.
Yeah.
I have really good expectations for this movie. I think it's going to be very well received. If the trailer is any indication of how it is, this trailer just made me want to see it more.
Yeah. So honest. let's do, because I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but let's do favorite moment and least favorite moment. The trailer.
Let me put it on again really quick. Actually,
okay.
Suicide Squad trailer. So obviously, anything with the Joker, I tend to like.
Yes.
Harley Quinn, I tend to like a lot. Some good shit.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Some good shit. I think, never mind, I'm not going to say this because this is a public forum.
Say it.
I think I discovered my sexuality as a child when I saw Harley Quinn for the first time, so.
Wow.
There's that. Let's see, she's sipping tea. You got Will Smith.
Yep.
They're in jail. See, here's the thing that I like about this is I want to see this movie and I don't give a shit about any of these characters except for like two of them. So I don't even know who they are really. So yeah, this is good shit. Good shit. You know, there's some cheesy moments, but Will Smith seems pretty good in it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Will Smith's talking. What is that? Jai Courtney or whatever? What is
yes. This? Yeah, Jai Courtney.
Captain he actually Boomerang. Doesn't look shitty in this, which
mm-hmm.
surprising.
Yes, Captain
Killer Croc. Boomerang. Is that who that is?
Yep, Killer Croc.
Who's the fire guy?
El Diablo, or I don't know if his name is El Diablo, but it's something Diablo.
Oh man, Harley Quinn is amazing.
See, so my favorite moments, I would say. Number one, I don't know if this counts as a moment, but like I like right off the bat the vibe with like Queen. I'm just like I'm into this immediately. And like the opening shots are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think fucking hate, and you're gonna be real upset with this.
Uh-oh.
Who plays Harley Quinn? What's her name?
Margot Robbie.
I think she looks like shit. Not physically, she looks great. But like her acting, I can't stand it. And like I understand that's like
what the fuck
I understand
is wrong
it's
with
a
you?
Thing. Like I understand that's what she's going for. But like, so we talked about. I discovered something about myself the other day, and it's that I hate when things are too on the nose. And
yes, you do. Like you can't fucking stand.
Like it drives me fucking crazy. And so. The worst part of this trailer to me was at the end when she like breaks the glass and
she breaks the glass
something.
Of like a jewelry store and just like grabs something out of the showcase.
Yeah, and she's just like, "We're the bad guys. It's what we do." And it's like, "Fuck, we fucking get it." It's just like the first Comic-Con tease where it's like, "What, we some kind of Suicide Squad?" Like,
we
fucking get it. Everybody who's watched this trailer up to this point understands the plot to the point that we know they're bad guys. Like, you don't need to fucking hit it over the head.
We need to make a line that says the name of the movie.
Yeah, it's like, it's just, and like, I don't, her delivery, like, is just so, the reason I don't like it is because it makes me cringe, which I understand it's supposed to. But I don't enjoy that feeling.
I feel like her entire character is going to be like that too.
Yeah, so it's like the voices in my head told me to kill everybody. It's like, oh my god! It's like how over the top can you possibly fucking be with this character?
Right? Yeah, you're like, not going to like that at all. I don't think.
Yeah, I know. I'm not. But that being said, the movie as a whole looks pretty good. Like I'm interested.
What was the name of Will Smith's character? Deadshot? Is it
Deadshot? Yeah.
I think his like mask thing looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's sweet. I'm interested to see if it's like there seems to be a theme with like purple and red in this movie, and I wonder if that's just like
those are like my two favorite colors together too. So I like that.
Yeah, it's like I don't know. I'm wondering if that's like a thing or if that's just the director's like yeah those are cool colors.
I think every scene with the Joker in this is really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
it looks great.
My overall thought is that if I saw Harley Quinn wearing her traditional red outfit, it would be really bad. So, in a good way.
But anyways, you're excited to see it?
I'm excited to see her, yep.
Did you say her?
What? I didn't say anything, Eric. Okay?
Jesus Christ. Well, I'm excited to see it, too.
You're excited to see her too? Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that's all I got for news. So do we want to talk about the main discussion topic?
I know you don't.
Are you ready?
I mean, I'm ready.
All right.
I think the better question is, are you ready to talk about how great the first two episodes of Agent Carter were?
I'm ready to talk to you about how much I didn't like the first one episode of Agent Carter because I didn't watch the second one. Because
You didn't even watch it. You were like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I can't watch it. That's fucking hilarious.
So,
second one was way better, too.
How do you want to do this? I'm going to try to be as fair as I can. Like, I don't want to just shit on this show for 20 minutes.
So how about let me read off the plot of the first episode.
Okay.
Just in case you haven't watched it. So this is the second season of Agent Carter, which I think both seasons are only going to have 10 episodes each. Mm-hmm. And it's the series that bridges the gaps between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it goes on break. So the first two episodes aired last Tuesday night. The next episode will air tomorrow on Tuesday. And this is the plot of the first episode. It says, in 1947 New York, Chief Jack Thompson and Agent Peggy Carter of the SSR apprehends Soviet spy Dottie Underwood after setting her up during an attempted bank robbery. Let me just point out, if you guys don't know who Agent Carter is, it's Captain America's love interest from Captain America the First Avenger. They were pretty much a couple, but then Captain America died. So this is based in the 40s. Yeah,
that'll throw a nice bucket of cold water on a romance.
Exactly. So this is continuing on. Newly appointed Chief Daniel Souza of the Los Angeles SSR office meets, and SSR is pretty much the early start of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to describe it. He meets with Detective Andrew Henry, who has discovered a woman's body in a frozen lake during a heat wave. So this lady's dead body is in the middle of a frozen lake in California in the middle of summer. So something's not making sense. There's some supernatural shit going on.
Yep.
Souza, doubting his inexperienced subordinates, asks Thompson for backup, and he sends Agent Carter. An autopsy shows that the body glows in the dark, likely caused by isodine energy or particles that are from isodine energy's particle accelerator. Agent Carter learns from Isodyne scientist Jason Wilkes that the woman was a physicist there who had an affair with the owner of Isodyne and prospective Senator Calvin Chadwick. Underwood is taken into FBI custody with Thompson's mentor Vernon Masters warning him that the SSR will soon be replaced by a new peacetime organization. Henry attempts to kill Wilkes but is killed himself by a police officer. Henry and the officer were hired to cover up the murder by Chadwick and his actress wife, Whitney Frost, who is Madam Mask, following the former's affair. That was the first episode.
Mm-hmm. Sure was.
So, what'd you think about it, Eric? Twists and turns everywhere. Good dialogue. Great 1940s period setting. Lovely outfits on Agent Peggy Carter.
Friends become enemies, enemies become friends.
So you told me before we started podcasting that you wrote so many notes within the first 15 minutes that you stopped writing.
That I stopped writing notes, yeah. So
was it, I love Peggy, I love Peggy, I love Peggy, I love Peggy?
It was not. And people should know, I actually didn't. I watched the first episode of the first season of Agent Carter. And it just, it wasn't for me. Like, I didn't like it. And
fair enough.
It's, I don't know. The aesthetic was weird. And I mean, when I watched it the first season, like, I didn't take the time to try to understand why I didn't like it. I was just like, I'm not into this, so I'm not going to watch it. But now for this, I tried to sit down. And I'm like, why specifically don't I like this? And I watched the first episode of the second season. I watched the whole episode. And I did not like it. That being said, the first 15 minutes, I don't know if it was just I thought the first 15 minutes were exceptionally bad, or right. After I stopped taking notes, I stopped judging it so harshly. But the last, like, half an hour or so was fine. It wasn't, I still didn't like it, but, like, I didn't want to kill myself. So, which is like the first 15 minutes.
Well, that's a good improvement.
Yeah, like the first 15 minutes, I was like, holy fucking God, this is unbearable. So, if I can go through my notes of why, and I'll read them, I will read them verbatim.
Oh, great.
stupid fucking filter they shoot everything with that looks like bad airbrushing on a 14-year-old's Instagram photo. I stand by that for the entire
episode. You don't like sepia tone, huh?
No, god damn it. It looks so fucking dumb. The next one is stereotypical as fuck 50s spy music. And that, to me, that's a big one because, like, I'm like,
you make music.
Yeah,
too.
Music's a big part of my life. And that music is shit. If Agent Carter producers, if you're listening to this, I will, whatever the fuck you're paying the musician on that show, if it's more than like $10 an episode, you're overpaying. It's garbage.
Now I need to see who makes the music on it.
Yeah, it's garbage. And to add to that, and this is something that I didn't even notice until like halfway through the episode, and I went back because I was like, oh, that's why I was so annoyed every time the scene switched. Almost every single scene transition has a stupid fucking Bewitched style like harp run. It's like, I'm not fucking kidding you. I'm like, are you shitting me? Like, what am I watching right now? So that fucking drove me up the wall, especially like after you notice it, you can't unnotice it. You know what I mean?
Oh boy, now I'm gonna hear all that.
Yeah, so
oh my goodness.
What's that?
I looked up the guy that does all the music.
Yeah.
You want to hear what he's known for?
Yes, I do.
His name is Christopher Lennertz.
Okay.
Oh boy. Okay. I'm just going to read this first sentence and then name some titles. This is on Wikipedia.
Okay.
He is perhaps best known for his musical score for the 2007 film Alvin and the Chipmunks. On top of that, he also did the score for Dr. Dolittle 3.
Oh, okay.
Sharkbait.
Yeah, sounds about
Portia
right.
Portia Heaven.
Yeah, sounds...
Soul Plane.
Why the fuck?
The Perfect Holiday. Meet the Spartans. Disaster Movie.
Oh, my God.
Marmaduke. Cats and Dogs. The Revenge of Kitty Galore. I can't even make this shit up. Camp Rock 2. The Final Jam. Vampires Suck. Lemonade Mouth, Horrible Bosses.
So here's the thing though, is like, that's fine. And like, I don't want to just shit on this guy. Like, clearly he's like a good musician. I mean, he's worked on several like feature films, but that is not the kind of fucking music that needs to be an Agent Carter.
Mm.
Like at all. It's fucking, it's just, it's so stereotypical. It's the kind of music you'd hear in a fucking Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah.
Like, it's because it's just so serious. There's no thought behind it at all. It's just,
right.
Hey, make us a 50 spy music. And he's like, okay. And like, that was probably legitimately exactly a real song from Agent Carter. And so, fucking God damn it. So
I'm going to notice it now. Thanks a lot for ruining my immersion into the series.
See, that was bad, but the harp shit is worse. Like, listen for the harp shit. It's so bad. So this next note I wrote is pretty unfair. And I take this back now when it's not in the heat of the moment, but it was during where it was just like so much of like, it's a woman in the 50s. It's a woman in the 50s. It's a strong woman in the 50s. And it's just, and so I wrote, the character isn't even remotely interesting. We get it. She's a woman in the 50s. Wow. Congratulations.
So check your privilege at the door, Eric.
So I texted you this actually, and I still think it's a pretty apt description of the show. To me, feels like it's a show about the 40s and the 50s, written in the 90s and shot right now. And like, I feel like that's just the aesthetic that I get. Like, it's just,
is it because Michael Murray is in the cast?
No, it's just I hate the fucking dialogue. And
no, I understand. I actually understood that criticism. I personally am able to get past that because I kind of like, it's supposed to be like cheesy in that regard,
mm-hmm.
but like I can totally understand the criticism at the same time.
So I also have an entire section right here that I labeled in all caps, "so fucking on the nose."
Yes, yes. Which the entire series is very on the nose. Her entire character is.
Yeah, which is my least favorite thing in the world, as we just established.
Yeah, you fucking hate like when people like make comments like, nice hat.
Yeah, that was my first one.
Just going to take that, yes.
Yes, when Agent Love Carter beats down whatever the fuck are Dottie's or whatever, Dottie's wearing the Agent Carter costume, and then Agent Carter like beats the shit out of her, and she's like, "I love the hats." Like, oh, I love the fucking hat that I wore for the entire goddamn first fucking season. Fuck you.
Oh man, so, it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. So, all right. So then, I don't even remember the context of this, but I wrote down, someone who is using the most terrible New York accent of all time, which is everyone in this show.
Well, hey there, sweetheart.
Yeah. Somebody was like, "Yeah, you tell that joke once a month." I think he was like on the phone and somebody was like,
"Yeah, yeah."
It was like, "Shut the fuck up." And then I wrote verbatim, "Fucking overacting Dottie in the interrogation scene." And I wrote,
yeah,
with the "Peg," and then she bats her plastic surgery eyelashes. "We both know there are currencies more important than money." It's just so, it's the dumbest fucking dialogue in the world.
You would really love Captain Marvel issue one then by the showrunners of Agent Carter.
I would probably burn it. I would literally probably burn it.
No, I mean, I can. You don't like that type of stuff, and that's pretty much the entire episode is like that type of stuff. So,
yeah. So that being said, though, that was about as far as I got with notes. So I was like, I can't. Like, if I do this, I'm gonna burn my thumbs out from typing. So I stopped typing, and some high points. The actor who plays Jarvis is amazing. I love
him. Oh yeah, that's like the best part of the series is watching Edwin Jarvis.
Yeah, he is the best. He's great. The story I thought was mediocre. I thought it was interesting that Isodyne is like the shit that you use in like all the iPhone games, right? Like the ISO 8. Like ISO or whatever. 8,
yeah, and all that shit, yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool tying that in. They might have tied it in sooner and I just didn't notice it, but I think
the chemistry between James Darcy, who plays Edwin Jarvis, and Haley Atwell, who plays Peggy Carter, is like what makes the series good.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think Haley Atwell is very good in this at all. Like, I hate the character. I mean, that's not the right way to say it. I think the character is
fucking
hates
women.
Stupid.
Everybody,
no, it's like it's a nah, dumb character. And she doesn't interest me at all. And the way the director is telling her to portray this character, she's doing a good job of what she clearly is supposed to be doing. It's just not my thing. Like,
on-the-nose character. Yeah,
like, which is not, I don't like it at all. So anyways, so you give a less biased review of this.
So I think the first two episodes are always better off watched together because that's how they're presented. And they kind of give a bigger story arc of what's going on. There's a lot of setup in the first 15 minutes, which might have bothered you a lot, especially with Dottie, who I'm not a big fan of. I thought when they transferred over to all of the LA stuff that was going on, I was interested because it's supernatural shit and I like supernatural shit. I like the concept of finding a dead body in the middle of a frozen lake in the middle of summer in California. I think that's really interesting. I love the fact that they're setting up Whitney Frost, who is Madame Mask, because I think Madame Mask is a really good character. And for the first episode, I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. It didn't blow me away. But I thought as it transitioned into the second episode, I definitely started to get more invested into what was going on. I don't know if you want me to read the plot for the second episode of what happens or not. What do you think?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, so Chadwick, who was Whitney Frost's husband, who's trying to be a senator, he meets with the Secret Council of Nine, is what they're calling it. So they all have these pins that have a logo on them that is very reminiscent of a very early on, like, Hydra logo, kind of, that we saw in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's kind of like a, it's not exactly Hydra, but it kind of looks like that. And they shut down his Zero Matter program that was being run at Aes Sedain due to its seeming lack of results, and they want him to focus on his Senate campaign. Chadwick informs Frost, who is the true brains behind the program while struggling with her acting career due to sexism in Hollywood because she's getting older. Wilkes meets with Carter to help with her investigation, though he is hesitant to turn on Aes Sedain, as it is the only company willing to hire him as a black man. So that's the physicist that works for Aes Sedain.
He did really well, too. I liked him a lot, too.
He was a cool character. He seemed like kind of like his motivation was a little bit mixed, but I liked him as it went on.
Yeah.
He explains that Aes Sedain had attempted to replicate the success of the Manhattan Project, and in doing so had discovered Zero Matter, which is like this black matter that pretty much like reacts like really fucking crazy. And they showed a really cool clip of it pretty much like sucking in a whole bunch of like soldiers and shit, and it looked really fucking awesome. The frozen woman who was in the lake must have come into physical contact with it, though its effects are not limited to that. Carter and Wilkes agree to steal the Zero Matter, and at Aes Sedain find agents of the Council of Nine trying to destroy the program in the building. Wilkes manages to get to the Zero Matter, but is confronted by Whitney Frost, who is there to steal it herself before they could shut it down. Both of them are exposed to the Zero Matter in the ensuing scuffle, leaving Wilkes missing and Frost having absorbed Zero Matter. The end of this episode is really good. I thought that they started moving a lot quicker than the first episode and that they were getting into some shit that was like crazy cool. I think the whole Zero Matter thing is cool. What's that?
Doctor Strangey.
Yeah, very Doctor Strangey. So I was like, well, okay, this is awesome. Definitely, if you haven't seen it, Eric, I think you should watch the clip where they literally just show like what the Zero Matter does. They basically like it's so they were trying to do like Manhattan Project experiments, like I said. So they have this video where like they drop this bomb and I think they're expecting it to be like a hydrogen bomb, but then it pretty much like explodes and then just like starts sucking everything inward and it like looks really cool.
That's pretty badass.
I hope I don't like hype it up more than it is. I just remember being like, that's fucking awesome. And so I thought that was really cool, and I think it'll lead to more cool things. I'm looking forward to watching it tomorrow. The one thing I do like about this show is that it is only 10 episodes a season, so like things tend to actually move a little bit.
Sure.
At a decent pace. I didn't think the first episode did, but the second episode, I think they were able to set up enough in the first episode that like the plot got moving, which was nice.
Yeah. How should we do this? Let's do letter grade, because we letter graded letter Star grade. Wars. So okay. Let's just make that our thing. Letter grade.
All right. I think the first episode was just a B for me. Okay. And I think the second episode was an A minus.
Okay. I would say I didn't watch the second episode. So first episode, the first 15 minutes, fucking F minus. Fuck that forever.
F minus.
But overall, if I'm trying not to be biased, I'd still give it like a low C. Like it wasn't like a failure.
It's better than I thought you would give it.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, like, I'm sure to be fair to it, like, it's not like a, like, clearly, I mean, it's not,
it's
like
really
the
not
worst
your type
piece
of series.
Yeah. That being said, if you're like me and you don't like things that are on the nose, and you don't like bad 50s accents or terrible fucking music, don't watch the show. Like, it's pretty simple. Don't waste your time. You will hate it. I promise.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not like me, you'll probably really like it, because a lot of people do really like it. So
it's interesting. I'm looking right now on Rotten Tomatoes, and the first season has a 95%, but then the second season right now has 77. So I think there's some mixed views on it right now. Yeah. I'm a Marvel fanboy. I love Agent Carter, and I love simple things too. I'm looking forward to more of it for sure.
Cool. Well, listen, man, I actually have a pick I'm really excited about. So,
oh shit,
you gonna move on to picks?
Is it Commander Praise?
it's not Commander Praise. No.
Well, you can borrow it if you want.
Great. I can't wait. So my pick is, let me bury the lead a little bit here. So there was once this show, great sci-fi show, called Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
And it was a fantastic show. A lot of people really loved it. It kind of became a cult classic.
Cult classic.
Yeah, and I watched it and I really loved it because I really like sci-fi things. It's kind of my thing. And there's this network on television called the Sci-Fi Network that was meant to be a home for things like this. And it became a bit of a joke when it started creating movies like Sharknado.
Arachnid 3.
Yeah, so it became a bit of a joke, and everybody's like, all right, the Sci-Fi Network is not legit anymore. Nothing fucking good is on the Sci-Fi Network. Until I started hearing a bunch of hype for this little show called The Expanse.
Oh, yeah.
I watched this show, and I am fucking hooked. Like, this show is amazing.
How many episodes so far are we talking?
So far, there's only 8 episodes, I think.
Okay.
If
that's
you have,
fair
if you have Xfinity, they're all on Xfinity on demand. That's where I've been watching them.
Well, I don't enjoy getting my cable from Satan, so I don't have access to that. So,
right. The reason why I told that little story is because apparently, the Sci-Fi Network recently came under new ownership or management or whatever you want to call it.
Good.
And they realized, they're like, hey guys, we don't want to be this joke of a channel anymore. Like, we want to have good, like, sci-fi content, and
don't
this
be the
was
TLC
one of, the first,
of sci-fi.
Yeah, and this was one of the first shows in that initiative, so they're pouring a lot of money into this show, and I think there's like 4 other ones, and they're kind of like relaunching the network under these shows, and man, oh man, if they are as good as this show, I am so excited, because this show, The Expanse, it's about, basically, it takes place, I mean, it's doesn't really take place in space. There's basically humanity has moved beyond Earth, but not beyond the solar system. So there are humans still on Earth. There are humans still on Earth. There are some humans, there are some humans who live on Mars. And then there are some humans who, they work in the asteroid belt, and they're called Belters. And basically, it's really cool because you can almost tell, like, where these people are from based on their look. Like, the Belters have sort of evolved into like long, lengthy people because of the lack of gravity. So you can tell, like, physically that these people like work in the asteroid belt. And then like the Martians are kind of if the Martians are like America, then like colonial America, then Earth is like the UK. And so the Martians are like supposed to be like, they're a little bit more technologically advanced, they're a little bit more progressive, basically they're in a cold war, and so it's just, man, it's just so fucking interesting. What? Thomas Jane is the old Punisher. He's one of the stars. He does a great fucking job.
What do the special effects look like?
They're great. They don't do, the nice thing about it is it's not about the special effects, you know what I mean? Like, it's about, which I appreciate. I mean, there are cool special effects, like, depending on if you're in the asteroid belt or on Earth or on Mars, there are, like, slight differences in how they portray the gravity, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
All of the actual space stuff is done really well. Yeah, man, there's one scene, so, spoiler alert, kinda, but I won't tell you who this happens to, but a character, might be significant, might not be, gets his head blown off in zero G.
Oh shit.
And so his head's blown off in zero G, and the blood, like, from his arteries, like, his body is still spewing blood, so his blood is shooting and pooling, like, above where his head was, because he was strapped in, like, sitting. So the artery shooting his blood like upwards, and it's like pooling into like where his head just was, and then the artificial gravity comes back on, and then it just splatters on his body, and it's fucking awesome. Like, it was so cool.
It sounds gross as shit.
It was, but oh man, it was great. But yeah, I highly, highly, highly recommend the show.
Interesting.
The Expanse on the Sci-Fi Network. The Sci-Fi Network is coming back, and I could not be more excited about it.
That's good news to hear. Yeah, yeah. Especially for sci-fi fans.
Yeah.
I will keep with the TV theme. I'll do a twofer, even though I'm pretty sure I've recommended this in the past. Okay. Fargo, the TV show.
Yes.
Watch it. It's fucking great.
Okay.
But I will mention what I have been watching, which I think this is a pick that is a safe pick because I think a lot of people have been watching it. And that is Netflix's series, Making a Murderer.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm 7 episodes in right now. And it is really good in like one of those ways where like it pisses you off, kind of. So this is a story of a man from Manitowoc County, Wisconsin. And he goes to jail for 18 years for a sexual assault. And then they get DNA evidence that proves that he didn't do it. So he stayed in jail for 18 years and gets out. He starts suing the county. And then pretty much a woman dies that he was in contact with. I will mention that. And then he gets arrested for the murder. And he's pretty much on trial. And I'm pretty sure he's going to go to jail for that, too. And he has been in jail for it. I don't know what ends up happening at the end, but pretty sure he's still in jail, actually. And the more and more they show me about this case, and I'm sure it's biased to a certain degree, it just like looks really fucked up in the way that like I don't think he did it. I mean, I'm of the opinion right now that he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And it's like they just keep showing you like all this shit where it's just like, what the fuck is going on here? Because you know he's already in jail once for 18 years for something he didn't do, and now he's in jail again, and I don't think he did it again. And this guy's life just must fucking suck. Granted, he's not like the greatest guy in the world. He's done some pretty stupid things. But yeah, definitely if you're into like crime, like real crime type stuff, like it's really fucking interesting. And it's only 10 episodes. So check that shit out. The first episode's slow. I'll say that I was like, what is the big deal about the show? Everyone's been talking about it. But then like I started getting a couple episodes in and I'm like, I consistently find myself saying like, what the fuck is going on here? Because something's not right, you know? It's one of those things where it's like, there's something fucked up going on here and you're not getting the whole story, so.
Yeah, a lot of people have been really into that. I will say, if you're interested, Tom, there's a really interesting counterpoint when you're done with the with the season, about how the filmmakers basically left out a gigantic piece of evidence that basically
proves Stephen
Avery's
guilt. Yeah, I saw an article
about that.
Yeah.
Also, for anybody who, and I only watched, I think I watched like 3 episodes. But man, and actually similar to Fargo, you got to be okay with listening to that fucking accent forever. Because holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
That will grate on your earballs.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's.
Probably wasn't a very good Wisconsin accent, but. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's something, I don't know whether he's guilty or not. Right now I'm leaning towards not, even though I know that they left out some stuff, but something's not fucking right there. That's my way of putting
right,
it,
yeah,
is
yeah.
Something's not adding up. Whether, you know, both sides, you know, there's something going on, but I just think the funniest part, I don't know, you said you watched 3 episodes?
I believe so, yeah.
Did they show you when, like, his nephew is interrogated by police?
Give me more context. I was watching it, like, it was like in the background.
Basically, his nephew is interrogated by police, and okay. I feel bad saying this, but his nephew has to have some type of mental disability, because you can tell, like, he does not have cognitive capability to understand much of anything at all.
Well, didn't they actually say that, like, one of the things with Stephen Avery is, like, his IQ... Like, didn't they reference his IQ?
His IQ was low, but his nephew's was way lower.
Wow.
Like, he should probably be, like, in, like, full-time special ed or something. Mm-hmm. But, like, these police pretty much, like, coerced an interview out of him.
Oh, jeez.
And, like, just
that's
watching
so
the interview was painful.
Yeah.
Because, like, they don't do anything to him. It's just, like, he just will say yes.
Didn't understand. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I remember there was like a scene that I thought was hilarious between like him and his mom. And he's like, he said something about like the evidence being inconsistent. And like the mom was like, well, I don't know what that means, but and it's like, you can tell these people are not exactly a genius. So yeah. It's interesting, but fucked up at the same time.
Man. Well, all right. There you
go. So that's my pick.
Making a Murderer. Mm. All right, man. We fucking did it.
Another week. Another podcast done.
Show. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at JebBush2016.com. I hope that's my website. Or it could be jam.com.
Probably find you at whitehouse.com.
Yeah, that's a
everybody pipe. Remember that from middle school? It's a pornography site.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Kind of like the Skyway traffic account on Pornhub. Great site to check out good picks for the week that Eric enjoys.
That
especially scat porn.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so for everybody who's new to the show, Tom thinks it's hilarious. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Skyway Traffic. You can find Tom's crazy ass anywhere under Comic Squadron. Tom thought it would be really funny to make a Pornhub account under Skyway Traffic. And
I did not do any of that.
And apparently, what'd you do? Like, how does shit work? Do you favorite shit? Like, or do you like put it into like a recommended?
Here's the thing.
Playlist or something.
Everybody listening. Eric is bullshitting everybody. I didn't make any type of account. He just forgot that he made a Pornhub account under his own name, and I found it, and now he can't delete it because then we'd all know it was him.
No, see, I can't delete it because you have ownership over it, you dickbag.
I don't know what you're talking about. Pornhub.com.
It's a good thing this is definitely not a family show.
Yeah, there's a reason why we have the explicit warning. Tag. And oh my goodness, Eric. Wow, okay, I'm not going to look up that anymore. Yeah, we got that explicit warning for a reason, so check out that Pornhub account Eric has.
All right, well, I'm at Skyway Traffic everywhere, including Pornhub.
Fuck yeah.
Tom?
Jab.
Jesus Christ. That'll do it. Thanks
Until
for listening, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you, all seven people.
Oh, bye.
Bye, Mom.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Perfect.